A few mornings ago, I woke up with a song coming to my mind. Little is much, if. And I'll stop right there because that'll be the title that I would give this message. I know that some people have to fight their abilities. Really, Paul had a lot of abilities. And when he got saved, he turned those back to the Lord and consecrated them. I want to look at a verse to start with in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You ever have that problem? Comparing myself with somebody else. And it's not off of, like the Pharisee when he was praying, I thank thee that I'm better than this other man. You know what? Most of us, ours would be, I don't have the ability somebody else has. And I would like to use this verse that way. It's not good for me to compare myself with someone else and then come away from that saying, I can't do it. I'll just leave it for somebody else to do. But what I would like to look at today is little is much if God will be in it. And I believe that he would like for me, for all of us, when we come to places that we say, I don't have an ability, at least it's not as good as others, to still say, you know what, I'll still give my little. Because something happened in Matthew 25 and 14 through 17. When the talents were handed out, 5 to 1 person, 2 to 1 person, and then 1. Did it say in that little story there, did it say the reason it was different amounts were given to each was because he liked this one better? It says it was given according to their several ability. So he gave 5 to 1 person because he knew he had the ability to go out. Now, I don't think that person would have been, if we're likening it to spiritual things, would have been very productive, at least acceptable with the Lord, to say, you know what, I got 5 because I got the best ability there is. I believe he had to have been humble with his, but he went out and did what he could with it. But you know what happened with the one? He saw it as such a little bit, and I can't do much. Well, there's a reason he only got 1 talent, because he didn't have much ability, but he did get something to work with. So I'm looking at this. It's real easy for me to look around, you know, especially as a minister. I can look around at people, at ministers, that it's like it just flows. They have no problem at all. They can give a scripture and preach for 45 minutes or an hour on that. And I can start comparing myself with others and take that 1 talent and say, you know what, I think I'll just bury it. At least that'll give them room to be able to have another service to preach. But that's not what the Lord's interested in. And I think what he's interested in is for me to realize how much I need him, but also to realize, you know what, I'm going to have to turn this 1 talent in one of these days. It's not going to be near as much required of me as somebody that has more ability, but there will be something that is required. There's a verse of a song. It says, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Did he leave it with that? It says, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to have that feeling that you can't do anything. But then what I want you to do is come to me because I can help you. And where will we find that in? In John, the 15th chapter, and in the 5th verse. When he's talking about the vine, it says, I am the vine, you're the branches. Now, can you imagine with me being a branch, for me to get to feeling like I'm somebody in myself? If that branch is not attached to the vine, it's just a very few days that it's a stick that can be broken up. It's dried up. It has no ability on its own. I believe that's what he's wanting us to be able to see. But it says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. But then on the other hand, we have that song, little is much if God will be in it. Now, Apostle Paul, for all of the things that he was able to do, could have done, you know, he gave a list of his credentials. He studied at the feet of a man that means nothing to me, but it meant something to all the people that heard where he's got his training from, and all the things that he was able to do. And I look over here at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Came to a place that his ministry started getting a few people following him. And look in the fourth verse. While one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, you know, he could have said, I tell you, if you're wanting to compare me with Apollos, you look at our credentials. I've got much more than he does. Is that what he said? No. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. And then he goes on in the sixth verse. I planted. Paul says he planted. Apollos watered. But it was God that gave the increase. So he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You know, I think humility was a key to Paul's success that he had. You know, he came out of that saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And yet he was not willing to take any credit for anything himself. It's true he planted, but he said somebody else came along and put water on it. But it was really God that caused there to be an increase given. So I'm looking today at some of the little things in our life that we go through every day, and we can consider them so little we hardly put any value on them. I used to go to some classes at work, and they would talk about these words, low-hanging fruit. Now, what does that mean? We can be talking at work about how we need to reduce our electric consumption. It's very expensive. So we start looking at how can we trim back elevators or something like that. You know what low-hanging fruit is? It's when you go out of a room, turn the light switch off. It'll save some electric. It's small things that we would normally forget, that we normally would put not much value on those, but yet they do have value. You cut enough light switches off and you'll start seeing some difference at a workplace. Well, I'm interested in looking at, we can say, okay, I'd like to do something for the Lord. What is the big thing that I can do for him? Well, here's some, what I would call low-hanging fruit. I'd like to give out some scriptures. So let's start with Proverbs 25 and 11. Let's see how much value there is in this little.
A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
You know, when I look at that verse, that seemed like it's a pretty small thing, a word. Except that when that word is fitly spoken, it has so much value to it. It has so much value to the person that you said it to. Just like a word that is not fitly spoken can hurt so bad. What is the song? Guide my words that they be spoken in such kind and loving way. They may cheer a heart that's broken. Someone's darkness turned to day. The things that we would pass by and say, I just don't really have a whole lot of ability. You know what? We can have the ability to speak a word in season, a word fitly spoken. So I say, Lord, help me. I would consider that to be some of the low-hanging fruit. You know, sometimes we can think, well, it would be great to go across the ocean and be able to win some people to Christ. You know, what about if I just went across the street and encouraged somebody that is in need? it has value. Okay, Proverbs 15 and 1. This one has value.
A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
A soft answer. You know, that sounds like that's a pretty small thing right there. Except it's real valuable. We live in a time where it seems like people's temper can explode just over the smallest things. And here is the cure for some of that. It could save my life. You know, we live in a time where we hear things that we didn't hear before. We hear about road rage. Maybe you didn't even realize you were doing it, and you pulled out in front of somebody on the interstate, and he is so upset that he's wanting you to pull over, and he's going to take care of it. I remember Sister Rich preaching a message, and she talked about she was just driving along. She doesn't know what she even did to the person, but said she upset him so much that he was trying to work her off the road. He was just giving her gestures and all those things. You know what she did? What does this say? A soft answer can turn away wrath. You know, there are things that when two people that have that same temperament get together, you can end up with a life being lost. It was interesting to me. She said, you know what I started doing? She said, I started praying. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry that I have ruined this man's day. I don't know what I did. I don't know what caused it to happen. But Lord, I can see right now I've ruined his day. Well, he's just carrying on like it did ruin his day. But to have that, she didn't say anything, but it was a soft answer. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And what I'd be interested in is little is much. Here's some of the little things. Let me put it in my life and be able to use it. In a time around us when there's so much trouble, there's so many people that are troubled, help me to learn to speak a word, a fitly spoken word, a word of encouragement to others. When there is something that could cause me to react in a carnal way, help me to have a soft answer, because the scripture tells us there's value to it. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Okay, for Galatians 5 and 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's really valuable for me to have those growing in my life. We're coming on springtime where we're expecting to see some growth from fruit trees here in a little while. I want to be able to have this fruit coming out in my life. Two of the things in that list, meekness and gentleness. May those two be fruit that people would be able to see without me telling them, yeah, I want to tell you I'm a gentle person. No, I would like for them to be able to see it by the life that I live. Okay, Ephesians 4 and 29.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Okay, so it's saying don't let there be corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but I want you to have what would minister grace to the hearers. You know, that was even coming to the place of being careful of evil speaking, but that I would be able to have inside me what comes out that can minister grace to the hearers. Okay, Matthew 5 and 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Yes. See, just a small little verse, but a peacemaker kind of gives the insinuation that there was trouble. And he happens to be in the vicinity, maybe is in the midst of those where it's happening, and has the ability to be a peacemaker. You know, what that means is, you know, you are not siding with wrong, but you can be able to, it goes back to these other verses, a word fitly spoken. In a time of trouble, Sister Wright has talked about times in their family where this could be a bomb that goes off. You know what? It's something how these things that we consider to be small things if we put them to practice in our life, can be what diffuses a situation. It has now come my turn to speak about these situations. And I can cause the flame to grow bigger. You know, what do we find in James, the third chapter? The tongue is a little member. It boasteth great things. How great of a matter a little fire can kindle. So we see what my tongue has the ability to do. It can cause much damage just by a few words. But what I'm looking for today is little as much if the Lord would be in it. He can cause a soft answer to turn away wrath. He can cause that instead of words that are not fitly spoken, words that cause harm, he can cause them to be able to minister, what is it? Minister grace to the hearers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Another verse was Proverbs 15. Let's take a look at Proverbs 15:23.
A man hath joy by answer his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?
Okay, thank you. You know, that's an interesting verse. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. So, you know, it is not something that just can injure someone else, but it can take away the joy that I could have had. This one, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Then look at that next verse. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Could those two verses be connected? A word spoken in due season. The way of life is above to the wise. To using wisdom in the words that I say could be able to be an encouragement to someone else that would lift their load. Could it possibly be that someone else, maybe they have done wrong, maybe they are the guilty party? You know what, mercy, to me a definition of mercy would be, I desire there to be less punishment than what would be given for this offense. Stephen, lay not this sin to their charge. Now that's amazing. I believe that would fit in with this. And my desire is for myself, Lord, help me in these small areas. A lot of times we can think, well, you know what, the words I say, they come out, and if they bite, they bite. But what does it say? If you bite and devour one another, it's not a good thing. So I want to, in my life, to realize what I consider to be little, the words that I say, they are really bigger than what I realize. They have the power to make somebody's day. I think Sister Rich might have had it right. If I would look at it that, Lord, you know what, by those few words I said, I just ruined that person's day, or the encouragement that I could give that person. So I want to look at another place of the little category. It seems like the things that were said here was such a small thing, but they made so much difference. I'd like to go to a verse in 2 Kings 5:3, because we look at all these verses that we looked at up until now. A word fitly spoken. A soft answer. Here is a little girl that has been taken captive. First of all, I just think of a small child that has been taken from their home and the fears and the desperation that there is. But when I look at this little, I don't know how young, but it does say that it was a little maid. It says she waited on Naaman's wife. So he comes back from a battle and he has taken her captive. Just in my mind, I think of her having a mom and a dad and a family back at home, but now she's a captive. You know, she's got things to deal with in her mind, and the words that come out tell me how she's been dealing with it in her mind. And she hears that Naaman has leprosy.
Yes.
You know, it'd be so easy to happen. God, I knew God was going to get him back for what he did. He had it coming, and I hope he gets it good. That could have been what she said, but it wasn't. When she found out about it, on the third verse of the fifth chapter, she said to her mistress, you know, did she say, well, you know, did she even tie strings to it? That would have been a fine opportunity for her to tell her. Here's what she told her. Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You know what? She could have stopped and said, I tell you what, it'll also help if you take me home on the way by there to be healed of your leprosy. She didn't say a thing about it. As far as I can see, he went and was healed and came back, and she's still there to be a maid. But for her to be able to have, you know, we have things that are done wrong to us. And if we're strong enough, we can keep inside what I know I should not say. I need to just, like Brother Marty used to say, he would stuff it. Just don't say what comes to your mind. But this is going a little farther than that. This is, I believe, she kept it from staying in her mind that she had been wronged. Now she's at the point of being desiring that he would have good things happen in his life. It was a challenge to me. There's another section about the little category. In Acts 10, you know, it talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we read about Jesus took upon him the form of a servant. And when I desire to be more like Christ, I need to realize, you know what? If I want to be like him, here is how I start. Well, 10 and 38 gives a little picture of Christ. 38th verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And look at this next little piece, who went about doing good. You know, sometimes we can think that's little, that's a small thing right there. You know, that has great value when a person goes about seeking to do good to other people. What does the verse say? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. That's my desire as I go about my life, is as I see this person, instead of thinking about whether they deserve it or whether they don't, that my desire would be to be like Christ. He went about doing good. Titus 2 and 7. In all things, show in thyself a pattern of good works. What does it say in the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And at the same time, there's warnings about our good works. The warning is, if I let it happen inside of me that I feel like my good works are what's saving me. My good works need to be a result of salvation itself. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? It doesn't say anything about myself that they say you did a great job. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So, you know, when I do these small things, the result that comes back from it is going to tell me if I've done it in the right way or not. If it is bringing glory to myself, and you remember where God said, my glory I will not share with another, and nor do I want to take a part in that. I would like for my light to shine so that they can see good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. There is a scripture that almost seems to go contrary to good works, and yet it doesn't. It's in Ephesians, because good works are one of those small things that we can each one have in our life. In Ephesians 2 and 8, There's a reminder to us about what salvation is. By grace, here's how you get saved. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. You know, no amount of money or good things that I do to help out others around me will buy salvation for me. That's what I need to remember, and I think that's what this is trying to say. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. Salvation to me is a gift from God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So when I let my light shine, but you know, this verse doesn't just end right there. It goes on to the 10th verse. 9th verse is not of works, lest any man should boast. So does that end it, that works are not valuable? It says in that 10th verse, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. His desire, the plan of salvation, was to give it to me first. And when I get it inside, now something starts flowing out to others, a desire to be able to help them. What does it say? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God ordained that we should walk, that good works should be what flows out of my life. So there was a woman in the Bible that she was full of good works. Her name was Dorcas. In the 9th chapter of Acts, how did she get that title? Acts 9 and 36. She died is where we first even heard about her name. It says in the 36th verse, 9th chapter of Acts, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by the interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And in the next verse, she died. And they come on down where Peter, when he got there in the 39th verse, said he saw the widows there weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So people have come that she has been a blessing to them. She has done things for them. And now she's died and they've all come around to bring, show the coats and everything that she provided for them. Do you think that she said, I tell you what, I'll give you this if you'll make me a promise. I've got a dream that when I die, I'd like for a lot of people to be around and tell all the good things that I've done. I don't think so. She was full of good works. First of all, I believe it's because she had met the Master. And salvation caused her to have works going out. You know what? I'd like to be able to have that title. Full of good works. And you know what, I believe it's something that I can work at. Our words, the value of those words, is something that I want to work at more. To realize, you know what, tempers are flaring, and I'm not going to say the wrong thing, but am I going to say something that puts just a little fuel on the fire? Or will I realize the value? And it's little is much if God will be in it. You know what? Really, it's not going to be my ability to say, you know what? I have learned in myself to control my tongue. No, what I need to do is have the Lord to work in me, showing me when it needs to be controlled in that way. Little is much if God is in it. In John 6 and 9 is a story that we've all read so many times. You remember Jesus is saying, he's got a great multitude here. We need to feed them. What do we have? And that's when they say, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, why do you think they wanted to knock the little boy's small fish? You know, whenever somebody goes fishing, they usually want to talk about the size that they got. Well, this one, they even wanted to emphasize, this little boy just got little ones. They're really not going to do very much at all. I thought about that story. I really don't think they chased him down and took it away from him to bring it to the Lord. I kind of like to see him coming there. You know, his mom packed him a little lunch because he loves to be there to hear Jesus. So he's close enough that he can hear, and he hears about this little problem. And he looks down, and he's got this. But you know what? They don't have anything. They don't have any bread or fish to provide. And willing to hand that to them and let them do what they can with that. What is that among so many? You know, we can look at some of the things that I can look at and say, what is this little bit that I have against so big of a problem or so many needs that there are? Well, I hope to always remember the little story that we've heard before of the little boy after a storm walking along the ocean front or whatever, along the sand there, and it's washed up little sea creatures. And he's going along, and he's got a certain amount of time to throw them back before they die. And he's just going along working at it. And an old man tells him, boy, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to save these. And there's so many of them strewn out. He said, boy, you can't make a difference with that. And he picks up one more, and he throws it in the water. And he says, I made a difference with this one. So I'm thinking for all of us, you know what? No, we won't be able to help everybody. But maybe tomorrow, maybe there'd be one. And if I'm not careful, I can find myself in the place of the one talent. I don't have any ability. So I let it go. When really the Lord is just looking for me saying, Lord, here I am. I know I don't have the ability. But you know what? The little boy could have said, I don't have the ability. This little bit is barely even enough for me. So I'm just not even going to offer it. I don't believe it was taken away from him. I think he offered it and gave it to the Lord. Sister Maxine has read this verse to us before. Zechariah 4:10. Who hath despised the day of small things? And I think that applies to us today. It's real easy for me to despise the day of small things in my life because I don't think they'll make much difference to help anyone else out. But to be able to realize, you know what, it's the Lord that can take the small things and cause them to be able to be a benefit to others. And I want to be able to do that. We have the story of David and Goliath because David was not willing to say, I have no ability. Look at the size of the giant. I try to look at that story. He's coming with bread and cheese is all his job is. And he happens to get there when Goliath is given the call one more time. It wasn't the first time that Goliath had done it. It had been many days, 40 days or something, that this thing has been going on. It just happens to be the first day that David has heard such a thing. And when he hears it, you know what? That thing's not about David. None of the story is about David's ability. All the way through to where when he's talking to the giant, when he's talking to Goliath, and Goliath says, am I a dog that you come into me with a stave? And David lets him know, you know what? I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. The one that you are cursing and despising, that's who I'm coming. And I can just see, I know he had some ability. He had probably been practicing with stones for a long time. But you know, Goliath had an armor bearer whose job it was to protect against things that come at the giant. Now, I believe he thought, you know what, that little boy couldn't sling a rock straight if he had to, and he's probably shaking anyhow. You know what, he could have held a shield up to have protected Goliath. But I think they were despising the day of small things. But I think what God did was he looked at David and said, you know what? He has been faithful up to now. And it's true, there is something about for us to get some practice for the day when the Lord wants to help us. practice with my words that they be spoken in a gentle way every day. Toward when the time comes that it can really make a difference with a person that the Lord wants to do it with, I have some ability there. I don't take it on my own. I give all the credit back to the Lord. But I believe with David, he had done his part. You remember he said, I slew the bear, I slew the lion. Was he boasting in himself? You know what he was saying was, God was with me back over there, and he will be with me here. We don't know what the future holds. But I want to tell you, for ourselves, where maybe for the most of us, it would be easy to say, you know what, I have very little that I can give compared to others. But Lord, help me to be willing to give my little. Help me, Lord, to not take my one talent, stick it in a napkin, and bury it while others are out trying to increase theirs. So that song, in closing, I'd like to read to you what it says. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, for he'll not forsake his own. You know, because there's a payday coming one day. It says, when the conflict has ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if you've been faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. It says, little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. I'm challenged by that. Because I believe the devil is interested in us looking around and saying, you know what, I don't have the ability that one does, so I won't do anything. But when I read of what happened to the person with the one talent, he wasn't commended for bearing it. He was in trouble. So I want to give the Lord the one talent that I have and ask him to bless it. Maybe that one talent is nothing more than tomorrow providing a soft answer that turns away wrath. Maybe it will be just a word that is fitly spoken to encourage someone. We're in troubled times, and there's a lot of people in the world that are nervous about the times we're in. You know what? If I can have the grace of God in my heart to be able to share with them, God can take us through anything. It could be a help and encouragement to others. I desire your prayers.